Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, streaming live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We rebroadcast on Sundays at 3 p.m. on a2zen.fm, and we encourage you to check out our folks on the web. We link to their websites, so go there. We also archive the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. Radio show page is the actual web page. Archived there from the latest for the last 7 years. I'm still a little befuddled by that. That still is an amazing thing, even though I think about how long I've been in this business, over 33 years, 7 years doing one program and never really, we've had many guests on multiple times, but still, it's one of those things where we've never had to, as far as I can recall, repeat a program. I've always had fresh programs to bring you in information, and this is one of those programs that we're going to bring you fresh information as well. I think an extraordinary program, but I want to also let you know, too, that if you'd like to become a part of the work that we're doing here on Tell Me Your Story, we can always use your support in many different ways. Energetically, I'm always open to that as well. But we also have a mission page at richarddugan.com where you can support us through PayPal. So check it out. And if you're able to do so, fine. If you just send us your energy, hey, I'll take it. I appreciate it. Can use all that I can get. Today, we're going to go in a little different direction as far as helping you to make it through your day-to-day lives. And we encourage you, as I've said before, to always go to our guests' websites and see what they have to offer. If it resonates with you, fantastic. Take what you need, take what works for you, and use it in your life. If it doesn't resonate, and not everybody's website does, or information, or books, or seminars, or CDs, meditations, etc., then don't use it. God forbid that you should use something that you don't like. We want you to enjoy your life and your process. So please, go there, check it out. In this case, it's going to be a website that is francisfox.com. It's F-R-A-N-C-E-S. Fox, F-O-X.com. She is my guest, and I want to welcome you to our program. It's a pleasure to have you here on Tell Me Your Story.
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure finally being on with you. I've been waiting for this for a while, haven't I?
Indeed. And you, indeed. And you actually have a rather extraordinary story, as do all our guests. But I like the fact that in addition, and we'll get into also the books that you've written and how people can get assistance from you, both through sessions that they can order through you, or even your horoscope or a future. As a matter of fact, I actually went to the future page, and it gives you give instructions on what to do before you click that submit button, and then it takes you to a page of one of your books, which is The God Speaks. The God Speaks, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But you are a psychic investigator. How does someone become a psychic investigator? Because we both know that most people, and especially institutions, have trouble with those of us who use our intuition as we go through our day-to-day lives, trust it implicitly, and they're going, no, I've got to have hard evidence, hard proof. Don't give me this woo-woo stuff, as most people like to use that term. So tell me how you got started in being it.
Well, let me say that we don't use the word psychic in the business world. We use the word creativity. Mm-hmm. It's trained in all the major business schools. And in a study that Stanford did many years ago, it was found that the most successful businessmen were very high in creativity and in intuition. You really can't make it big unless you have that gut instinct. And that gut instinct is actually a psychic ability called clairsentience. Okay?
Okay.
It's being a psychic having to do with emotions. And you can feel things. A lot of good psychics always have stomach aches because a lot of their information comes through feelings. So I am very intuitive, creative, whatever word that you would like to use. I have actually earned a lot more money in my career through the business world. Most of my clients are private or they're big corporations whose names we would not be divulging. But what I really love to do is to do research on what it is that's going on that is making us all so miserable. The wonderful stuff other psychics can deal with. I'm looking for what has made us traditionally unhappy and trying to find the root cause of it and then simple remedies that are not costly. So I have given myself the title, and I have done the investigations that I have wanted to do, and then I have put out books and a lot of my website. Most of my information is available for free, which is what I want. I want as many people as possible to take advantage of what I have found
with
my psychic abilities.
You use the word free, and certainly I've actually downloaded the 4 free items that we're going to talk about as well. The Gods Speak, Dolphin Wisdom Revealed. You also have another one entitled Secrets of Your Matrix, A Psychic Investigator's Extraordinary Journey, Your Story. You also have The Energetics in the Business World, Peak Performance.
That's the first book that I wrote, mm-hmm. was that, and the language is geared towards something that the corporate world at that point could tolerate. Now I would call it The Mechanics of Intention, or How Intention Works, mm-hmm. in the other dimensions. It's interesting that when I started to give that course under the title Stress Management in the Business World 10 years ago, and I was proving to these business people, they were private bankers, very high-earning private bankers, and I was telling them why it was that I could stand there and tell them the substantiating things. The only thing that came back on the reviews that was negative was the fact that I was trying to prove something to them, and they were okay with what I was saying. They wanted to get into it more. They didn't feel I needed to spend all that time proving anything to them. They just wanted to be able to do the stress management techniques, which, interestingly enough, are based on stuff from Buddha, from the Buddha, from Tibet, from India, mudras and mantras and breath. But that book is the first one, and it's written in language that a businessman years ago could have tolerated. Mm. And it's a great book.
Well, now, you also have a State of Mind Peace program. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I changed that, and the name of what I was actually working on today is the Fox Protocols.
I like that.
Yes, the Fox Protocols. And I have protocols for if you have a haunted house, if your child is depressed and you need to be able to help your child and you know your child's not going to cooperate, if you are depressed, if you have panic attacks, and that document that you're seeing are the 5 mental yogas that you need to apply when you have a problem or when you have something that you want and you don't have yet. And one of the yogas is the Om, which we're all familiar with. Another one is a hand position called a mudra, but it's the Apana mudra, which moves the breath that is from the lower part of your body. Instead of prana, it's apana, aprana. It moves it into the lower part of your body so that you get grounded and you can actually manifest your intentions. And then there is a visualization, which is very simple and very good, and then a purification mantra and an intention mantra. And those are the 5 mental yogas from the Fox Protocols. So we changed the name on that. I'm trying to get a little bit more systematic. As a psychic, I can be all over the place.
Well, you do have a lot of information coming in all at the same time sometimes.
Yes, I do, and it's overwhelming to try to figure out how to deliver it to a public that has been taught to disrespect spiritual information.
Now, it's one thing to do that, but it's another thing also to try to keep it organized in your own mind.
That I don't have a problem with.
You don't? Okay.
My intentions are very, very, very clear. I want to diminish human misery. And in order to do that, I chose a miserable, miserable childhood and up to into adulthood. Found myself in a black hole, which is where I was supposed to be, and then had to get my way out of it. And I remember saying to my therapist, listen, God did not intend that only people with a bank account could heal. So something's got to change here, and we have got to find something that people with no money and no time can use to self-correct. This, once a week, $150 an hour, does not work. So,
yeah.
And you know what? I got it. I got the simple techniques, which is what I teach in the Fox protocols.
You know, it's interesting. I and this is going back a few years, quite a few years, but I actually went through a very short period of therapy, once a week kind of thing. But I had also gone through several stints of personal growth and development programs, actually starting, I think it was in 1980 or 81, with a program called LifeSpring. One of these.
Yes, of course.
You're familiar. Okay. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself as well as other people. And I think one of the most profound things for me was the first time I sat down in one of these groups, I looked around and going, my God, when are these people going to get it? And it took me a few sessions to realize, you know, this isn't about them. This is about when are you going to get it?
Isn't that embarrassing?
A little bit.
Isn't it embarrassing when we do that?
But, you know, the most embarrassing part for me was as I began to judge them on appearance only, those people that I did not, from the first day, I did not want to associate with due to appearance, by the end of that program, they were the ones that I was the closest to.
Well, that's the problem with the world. What you see is not what you get.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have to be able to. I am enjoying myself now. I sat in a meeting years ago in a city hall. I was looking for some kind of coding change, and I was watching the people that were coming up in front of the code board, which were very severe issues. And I could see which person was lying, because the people that were lying, they had this black coming out of their mouth when they were speaking. I had never seen that before.
Yikes.
And the people that weren't lying had blue coming out of their mouth, blue energy, obviously. So the last 2 days, when the energies are very interesting on the planet today, and there's a lot of confusion because there's just an awful lot of other dimensions opening up and pouring into our consciousness. That's not easy. So the last couple of days, I went back to that because I'm talking to people and they're saying one thing and I'm not sure where they're coming from. So now I'm just switching and looking at the quality of energy coming out of their mouth, which really means your throat chakra. And I'm like, oh, so that's what they mean. So this that they just denied is not true. This denial is not true. But this other statement over there, this is very, very true. Because when they made the statement, their energy bodies stood straight up and there was gold all around them. So I'm back to that because I have to tell you, this communicating through the mouth is not a good thing, Richard. Not a good thing. Very convoluted.
Well, I mean, I can agree with you. And being that I'm in the business thereof, communicating and using the mouth to do so, it is a little disturbing sometimes because I have to say that the language actually gets in the way. And I'll give you a case in point. I have to say that some of my most remarkable conversations have been with rabbis.
They are fantastic.
Oh my.
They are fantastic. I love them. I adore them.
I respect them to no end because I have the basic understanding of what they have to go through to reach the level of being called a rabbi. The education, the study. So we were having this wonderful conversation, and he was sharing with me a particular, there was a specific item that we were talking about. I won't go into it here, but he said, no, the misunderstanding is that the word that they're translating has been mistranslated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I just sat there going, wow. And I've often said this in regards to, for example, and I was, of course, born and raised Catholic, so associated writings were the Bible. And there are so many different translations, and I worked for a Christian radio station for 15 years and tried to understand and question everything that was going on and things that were being said, that some of the stuff that I was being told didn't make any sense. It didn't. As I used at the beginning of the program to elicit people going to, say, your website, and if it resonates with you, well, a lot of this stuff didn't resonate with me. It just didn't make sense. It didn't fit. And so I would ask many of my guests who have studied the translations, who have of the not just the Bible, but many other ancient wisdom teachings, and they say, yes, much is lost in the translation.
Did you know that the Lord's Prayer that we know was translated from Aramaic to Greek?
Yes.
And then to English?
Yes, yes.
And do you know that the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic directly to English is so different,
mm-hmm.
and the part that says delivers from the from evil does not say that. The part that says delivers from evil, when you get the Greeks out of the way,
mm-hmm.
says you need to be grounded. Don't disassociate.
Yeah. Well,
it does not say you need help to be delivered from evil. And
right.
you and I that are in this field, we know that.
Yeah.
The more ungrounded you are, the easier you are to be invaded.
Well, one of the beautiful things I found from the Old Testament, whenever it referred to Satan or the devil, this personal being, according to the ancient original language, had nothing to do with this other entity outside of ourselves. It had to do with the lowest base nature of man.
You know, what I tell people is, listen, Lucifer mm-hmm. was God's favorite angel.
Yes.
You think that God did not know about Lucifer?
Oh,
that
yeah.
he was surprised? He knew. He knew and he supported it because somebody has to carry that bad energy on the planet.
Yeah.
Because we nice people refuse to. And you think Jesus Christ didn't know about Judas? It was his best friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was his best friend. He knew. But everything that we don't know sets us up for a lot of misery that we could take care of if we had been given clear information.
Yeah, but this takes...
And the whole translating thing, I had a boyfriend years ago who was a Buddhist. He spent all his time working on the translations. And one day I said to him, listen, hello, these translations are great. What the heck happened to the compassion? You need to translate that.
Yeah.
So what are you doing about the Buddhist compassion? And he looked at me and he said, you know what, you're right. I said, please drop those translations because it's just an endless thing. Go to the core of what the Buddhism is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And by the way, the thought came to me as you refer to the Lord's Prayer and the Aramaic to the Greek to the English. There is, in the world of cloning, the last thing that you want to do is clone a clone of a clone of a clone. It's like making a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. It just gets worse the further along you go. But bringing us back full circle to what you spoke about in terms of words getting in the way, that one of my guests made the comment that there's going to come a point when we are no longer going to believe things. We won't need to because we will just know. That's the sort of the bridge that he was speaking of, going from belief to knowing.
But that's happening already.
Yes.
That's one of the problems with big corporations. We don't believe them because we know. We don't know quite what they're doing, but we kind of know that what they're telling us is not what it is.
Yes.
You know what's happening? That is a big thing. So 10 years ago, I said, listen, you guys need to align with a job that you really like and believe in, because if not, you're going to get fired because people are going to know it. They're not going to buy from you. They're not going to pay you. And the people that earn a lot of money, they really believe in what they're doing. But you know where that's coming out in a very big way in the last several months? Our food.
Yes.
We're so many people are telling me the same thing I'm feeling. I'm looking at a piece of chicken. I'm ordering it. Hey, this is great. And I'm looking at it going, I don't want to eat that. Why don't you want to eat it? I don't know, but it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You've been eating this for years. I know it, but there's something it just doesn't feel. You know what? I'm not eating this chicken. I'm paying for it, but I'm not eating this chicken.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's the same places I've been eating in years, and I'm not talking fast food.
No, no. I hear
and
you.
And I'm looking at something else, and I'm going, my body, clairsentience, does not want that. I don't want that. Why don't you want it? I don't know. I know I loved it. I know I ordered it. I know I bought it. But I don't know. I don't want this. And so many people are telling me, you're right. I can't eat chicken anymore. Or I can't do this anymore. There's something about it. And that is the whole thing about forget the words. What does it feel like? So this whole turnaround having to do with food is a wonderful thing because in shamanism, they know that the best and easiest way to kill your enemy is to put bad energy in their food because you get it into the deepest part of the poor person. So you when you go to, I had a shaman, I know this because I had a shaman come visit for a week from Mexico, and he wouldn't eat anything I gave him. And so by the end of the week, I said, wait a second, you know what? This is a problem. Because I know you have to be hungry because I'm with you all day long. So what is going on with the food? He said, well, you know, in my country, the shamans, they try to kill each other with whatever. I said, yeah, but I'm not a shaman. I'm not trying to kill you. So what are we going to do? And so he finally started to eat my food, you know, whatever I presented him
yeah.
with. But so So what we put in our bodies is important, but the nice part is that our bodies are letting us know. So it's a truth that is not coming from the mouth. We're not reading it on a label and going, I don't want that. We're just living more instinct. Our instincts are becoming more available to us. Isn't that wonderful?
Indeed. There is a technique I was just thinking about as you were sharing this that I learned many years ago. It's called kinesiology.
Oh, I teach that all the time.
Yeah, well, I learned it many years ago. Very simple. I mean, it's unbelievably simple. And basically, it was taught to me to test for that very purpose, to test different foods or things that I wanted to consume or things that I wanted to have in my life. Were they appropriate or inappropriate and so forth? And I could test it very easily. But even that method that I was taught, or the several methods that I was taught, were not really necessary if I just listened to that still small voice or listened to my body, you know, and the gut and so forth.
Or listen to your psychic instincts.
Yes.
Which we all have.
Right. And it was astounding,
go ahead. We suggest everybody, both you and I, and I know we suggest everybody that you learn kinesiology, and every time you get a medicine recommended or a product, just try it out.
Test
Don't buy it.
It yet. Yeah.
Try it out.
Right. I know, too, that when it comes to food, I know that there are many, many techniques that I've heard from what they're called foragers, if you will, individuals who teach people how to forage out in the wilderness. Doesn't matter whether it's the forest or the desert. As a matter of fact, there was a woman in Phoenix when I lived there. She called herself the wild weed woman, and she had created a deck of 52 cards that on the front side was a photograph of that particular plant found out in nature, and on the back side was what you could use it for. And in some cases it was medicinal, in other cases it was actually food for nutrition and for eating and so forth. Matter of fact, one of the cards I actually used to cook tumbleweed soup. And
wow.
this is tumbleweed. This is a tumbleweed that is still green. You cannot eat the dried out, rolling across the desert kind of tumbleweeds. They are, you must get them when they're still green. And you just cut off the last 2 inches from the end, and you can use that in that context. But but what she did was she created this whole thing out of the fact that she was watching in the early 1990s during the first Gulf War, and she saw these indigenous peoples of Kuwait or Iraq, I forget which country it was, on TV, and they were starving, and they were sitting there on the side of the road kneeling into these plants. And she recognized the plant and that it had incredible nutritional value. And here they were kneeling on this plant, starving, because they didn't know.
Richard, there are so many stories like that. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story, and that woman is obviously an expert. But if we could just go back to our instinctive knowing.
Yes.
Our instinctive knowing, which mothers have overdeveloped, and big businessmen have overdeveloped. We can go back to that and apply it to simpler things. You know what a problem is, Richard, which is I'm so glad to have this opportunity to share this with you and your audience. We have a problem with authority.
Mm-hmm.
We have had, it's breaking, an addiction to hierarchy and authority, which is a triangular structure of power with very little people at the top, very few, and then all the rest of us some other place underneath. And before, not so much anymore, the people at the top spoke. We not only listened, but we took the ball and we ran with it in the direction they told us. And science was used by these people, I call it industry-sponsored science, to back up what these people were saying. And we went ahead and did stuff that was completely crazy. Okay? Mm-hmm. Completely crazy because of our respect for authority and hierarchy. And look where we ended up. We need that hierarchy, that triangle of power has collapsed, and we're now into community. But there's still some of us that are very addicted, and I hope I'm not offending anybody. If you have a problem, you need to go to your doctor. But when somebody says to me, I have cancer, my doctor says that I have, you know, he's not going to be able to do very much for me, and I have this length of time, and my doctor's great. And I look at him, and I go, and you're going back to that person? Well, yes. Okay, who else are you going to? Nobody. My doctor's great. Excuse me. Excuse me. That's an authority figure in a location, okay? But you have authority figures in other locations or knowledgeable people. You should at least compare notes. And they don't. And like I say to them, this doctor says you're going to be dead in 3 months, and you're telling me that you're going back to this doctor and saying everything that they say? Go ahead and do that. Please explore other avenues.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, you're just going down a road that's ending poorly.
You've got to investigate.
I have experience with this,
yeah.
Richard, and mm-hmm. I'm telling everybody out there, listen, you need to go to your doctor, because if you don't, you're being irresponsible, because you live in this country, and those are the people that if something happens can get you into a hospital and take care of you. But you cannot be responsible to yourself if you are going to go down a path that has a terrible ending without exploring the possibility of something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say this, and I promise myself I won't repeat this a lot because we reinforce. 30 years ago, I was told that I would be in a wheelchair within a year by an orthopedic surgeon that had done surgery on my back. Well, this is 30 years later. I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm totally operational. Most people don't know I had a disease. But the person who told me that was a great doctor, did great surgery, but I didn't go back there because with him, I would have ended up in a wheelchair. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anybody can take me to court for making these statements, because I'm telling you, honestly, you need to go to a medical doctor who knows about your stuff
mm-hmm.
that can take care of you. But please explore other possibilities.
Yeah.
Well, and it's our addiction to hierarchy, our addiction to authority, our giving away of our personal power that has not just in health but in everything else, including the foods that we eat.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't help but internally chuckle a little bit when you told a story regarding chicken, because I absolutely love chicken. I never would say that to our hens that we used to have who would provide us with eggs, because I didn't want to upset them.
Of course.
But for whatever reason, I just like chicken. And it just, to me, it's very tasty. But anyway, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that as time goes on, I think, as you've already stated as well, people are beginning the process. Many, many people and many more are beginning the process of getting in touch with their intuition and beginning to understand how important that is. I know that for myself, I learned from a very early age that if there were certain things that I needed to do, I would do them in spite of what maybe my siblings might say. I had the flu or some illness back when I was a kid. I was laying there in bed moaning, and my mother and sister came in, and I had four of them. One of my sisters came in, and she says, "Mom, make him stop. He sounds awful." To which she replied, and I don't know how I remembered hearing this, but nonetheless, she said, "No, that's how he heals himself." And so I recommend to everybody, if you're not feeling good and you feel like moan, you'll find the right tone. I'm not saying, C over high C or something. Whatever works at that moment, you're going to create. And it didn't necessarily cure me, but it sure as heck made me feel a little bit better.
Healing through sound.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, each organ has a particular sound, like the sound of the liver. If I'm remembering correctly, mm-hmm. this is the sound of the liver, to heal the liver. Like when you want to quiet somebody down.
Mm.
And the liver gets sick when there's too much fire, so you want to quiet down that fire, so it kind of makes sense.
But yeah.
You do all day long or a while, and you're going to quiet down mm-hmm. an overactive, fired-up liver. So that makes all the sense in the world. Listen, I don't know, do you take that product? It's homeopathy. It's called Aussie something for when you have a cold. Are you familiar with it?
I'm not, but I'm familiar with a lot of different
something.
Ones. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, everybody, at least here in Miami, is taking it, and it's great. So I went and bought it yesterday because I have a cold. My sister years ago called me, and she said, "Oh, you have a cold?" I said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "Why do you have a cold?" I got very offended, but it started me on the path of understanding that when we get sick, we have chosen to be sick, and there is a reason. I found out that I get sick when I feel sorry for myself.
Oh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So that's my reason for catching a cold. No problem. So I buy this homeopathic remedy yesterday because I have a cold. And then I said, I want to know what all these ingredients are for, because then I'll know why I got sick this time. A little bit more detail. I look up, it's only one ingredient. It's a homeopathic remedy from the duck, heart, and liver.
Duck heart
not
and
from
liver.
From an herb.
Okay.
From it's a French company that put this out, and it's homeopathy, in other words, a dilution of a duck heart and liver. Duck is for emotional comfort. I feel sorry for myself when I have a cold. Perfect for me. But it's perfect for everybody because this is like a very big deal product. If you look it up, I'll spell it. I don't have it next to me, or I'd spell it for you so you could look it up. It's a big thing in Whole Foods. And they actually have it today in the major supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart would be heart chakra, so your heart's a little bit broken. And then the liver, which is the organ of anger at the superficial level, and then of profound grief lower down. So you're getting emotional comfort for your heart and for your liver from this homeopathic product that is phenomenal for when you catch a cold.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many of these kinds of remedies and so forth, but it's the remedy, it's wonderful that we have these remedies to help us to kind of put down a lot of the discomfort that we feel and the dis-ease. But what you did is actually more important, I think, than getting rid of the symptom, and that was understanding why you got the symptoms in the first place.
Yes.
On that much lower level. We're going to come back and talk more with you, Francis, because I want to get into some other areas. But before we do that, you talked about the sound shh as far as the liver and so forth, and what that brought to mind, and actually brings us full circle in this segment to what we started with in terms of translations and so forth. I know enough about the Hebrew language, for example, and the alphabet to know that each one of those characters has its own numerical rating, its own tone or tome, if you will, and so it has its own legend. And when you start putting those letters, those characters together to make words in the Hebrew, it takes on a whole new meaning. And then you put those together into sentences and paragraphs and so forth. And this goes back to my conversations with the rabbi, that when we translate those from that language into any other language, we lose all of that incredible power.
We lose the energy component. By the way,
yeah.
Did you know that the Hebrew language is, each letter is a radionics machine?
I did not.
Radionics machine is a technology.
Uh-huh.
And each letter is a technology that does stuff to energy. And then if you put them in a word, and then you stick them in a sentence and a paragraph,
wow.
You're talking about you have so much going on, and then you bring it all the way down to A, B, C, D, E, and you get really flat.
Yeah. There's no real life in our modern day alphabet, but there is life in the program, and we're going to continue living this program here. Tell me your story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan with Francis Fox, and we'll be right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I cannot believe how fast the time goes by on some of these programs. We're talking with Francis Fox, and we have a website for you. It's francisfox.com. It's so easy, and you can find out more about what we're talking about as well. We encourage you to go to her website as, I think, a good point to start. Lots of neat stuff there, and Francis, it's great to have you back on the program here for our second half of the broadcast. I wanted to get into some of the areas that you're working in. Obviously, you work on investigations and so forth, and you have on your website, people can contact you and they can get readings and so forth. But I'm wondering if you perceive it this way. One of the observations that I have made is that if I want to go to someone such as yourself, I'm not coming to you to get answers. I'm coming to you to help to confirm. I'm looking for an outside source who doesn't know me from Adam to help me to confirm what I already know so that I can feel more secure in that knowledge and so forth.
But Richard, that's because you're very intuitive and very creative and very psychic. A lot of people come because they're missing a piece of information. They're missing an angle. They also come to confirm something. But it's usually because they need a new perspective. They need a new angle. They don't understand what is going on. And I'm not really that into private consultations with people, because what I want to do is to give people the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the traditional psychic thing, boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage, husband, whatever. I'll tell people, listen, I'm not going to tell you whether this person is being unfaithful or not. Why don't we look at your pattern with men or with women? Because that is what made this particular situation get difficult. Let's go back to where this all started. And then let me give you the mantras and the mudras and the other suggestions so that you can finish with the pattern, and then this situation in front of you is going to self-correct, or the relationship simply will collapse. So I do take private appointments, and it's really not what I'm looking for. I'm looking to give people techniques that they can use and incorporate in that situation that they're having a problem with, and then apply it to many situations and also pass it on to other people.
You're the teacher.
I don't know if you would call it a teacher. I want people to become more operational in their life.
Right.
I want them, for when they hit a wall, to step back and go, okay, is this a fresh wall? Mm-hmm. Or am I hitting the same wall with a different face or a different color? And generally people will say, no, this happens to me a lot.
Mm.
And I'll go, okay, then we need to find where the pattern started. What was the original injury, which has a name, and it's called a vasana, V-A-S-A-N-A. It's a Hindu word, and it means a deep injury on your mind, and it's the basis for karma.
Mm.
So let's find that, and then let's give you the techniques to clear that, and then everything else self-corrects.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of one of two different analogies. One is peeling away the layers of the onion, but probably more appropriately, it's one of these games where you start to remove from the interior of this puzzle.
Correct.
And all of the other stuff starts to shift around. And once it starts shifting, you go with it.
Correct. For some reason, I've been addicted to having efficient metaphysical solutions. If it's not efficient, if it's not quick, and if it's not cheap or totally free, then it's great, but it's really not what I've been looking for.
Right.
It's not what I've been looking for. And then we get back to the biggest healers, which are simply our backyards.
Oh, yeah.
The nature.
Yes.
The four elements. And why, you know what, Richard, years ago, and I know this looks like I'm not self-promoting myself, but I'm not, and as I say to people, listen, Jesus Christ, where did he teach? And I'm not a Catholic, okay? Where did Jesus Christ teach? Always outside.
He's outside.
Where did the Buddha decide to sit when he wanted to figure out how to help us out?
Yeah.
He sat under a tree. So why on earth are we having all these discussions inside? You need to go outside, and you're going to get fixed, okay? Just get yourself outside. No, but I have this problem. Yes, you're missing the earth element. Yeah, but look at this. You're missing the earth element. How can you manifest a bigger bank account if you don't have enough of the earth energy in your aura, which is your mind?
By the way, you said something there that I have to comment on, because it was made rather clear to me many years ago. I was talking with a woman who was sort of a mentor to me at that time, and I was having some problems with trying to get relationships started and so forth in my life, and I was sharing this, and then she would come back with her comment. And my response to her was, yeah, but blah, 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 blah. And she stopped me. She says, wait a minute, do you know what a yabbit is? And I said, a yabbit? No, what? Because it didn't make sense to me. And she says, it's an animal with two long two long ears and a fuzzy tail. That's what a yabbit is. And it took me a few years to fully understand that what she said to me. But when I got it, it was like, oh, okay. Because all I was doing was throwing up excuses as to why I wasn't where I wanted to be, instead of focusing on what you're talking about, and that is getting to the root.
You know what? I have to thank you for this time with you, because I just figured something really big on this call with you. You said, oh, you're a teacher. And I said, no, I'm not a teacher. And then right now I was going to say, you know what, I'm a teacher. If I'm a teacher, I'm a very impatient teacher. And I just yes, it's true. But I just realized the reason why I'm impatient is because I am running very scared, and have been since I was a child. When I see what I see, which is what the Mayans were talking about,
mm-hmm.
okay? When I see that forward, and actually right here, it scares me that people cannot deal with the basics in their life. They don't have the techniques. It's not that I want them to be perfect. No, you got a problem. That's what life is about. We learn through our problems, but you need to learn how to address it, figure it out, address it, take care of it, purify it, clear it, protect from it, etc. Because the stuff that's hitting us now and is going to hit us in the future is so much bigger. And if we are not kind of centered and grounded in our personal lives, we are going to actually be living the images that were in the apocalypse and what the Mayans also predicted.
Interesting.
And so if I'm a teacher, I'm an impatient teacher. Listen, guys, get this right now. Get this, figure this out now, because the problems are going to be so much bigger. They're not going to be about you and your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your bank account. Blah, blah, blah. It's not. It's going to be so big.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Be okay in these basics, or know how to handle these basics, so that you will be able to kind of be able to deal with the big stuff.
I don't recommend things very often, but I watched a movie a few weeks ago that I thought was very profound for two reasons. Number one was the storyline and what was going on in it. Number two was the way the movie ended. And the movie ended unlike what you would have expected. And I love movies like that, when they don't end the way I expect them to, because I've been programmed to expect them to have a happy ending. And this one did not. And it was called, the movie was called Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, with Stephen Carell. And there is an asteroid that is hurtling towards Earth. And there's nothing, Bruce Willis and his team are not available. Okay? They're not available. And so they are told how many hours they have. And so this is the story of he and the people in his life and what he does in those last hours to bring closure and actually begin a new, ironically, to begin a new relationship. But clean.
And actually, yeah.
And deal with his father. And have
a,
and exactly. And so to me, that was so profound. And so this brings us to another subject. A conversation had to do on one of my programs with the evolution of man. Where are we headed next? What's next, the next level?
Let me tell you.
Okay.
If I, maybe my next book of the title will be, May We Do It Like the Mayans.
Okay.
The biggest question mark I understand in anthropology is, where did the Mayans go? They just left. That's supposed to be like the biggest question mark. We don't understand that. Well, you know what they did? They left their presence on the physical dimension, and they just shifted into their energy bodies. They took the part of their consciousness from their unit of Russian doll energy balls, energy dolls. They shifted it out of their physical body into their astral, emotional, spirit body, and they shifted their consciousness. That's it. It was very elegant. Okay, but the Mayans knew all about energy and energy bodies and spirituality, and we don't. So if there is going to be the ending that basically everybody predicts, including science,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be sitting there horrified in our physical bodies, waiting to get hit or to drown or this or that mm-hmm. and the other, rather than just simply closing our eyes and just pulling our consciousness out of our physical body into the other dimensions, which is the golden age.
Mm.
We are not doing it gracefully like the Mayans.
No.
We are going to go screaming.
Kicking and screaming. Yes.
But the problem with that is that when a human being dies in trauma, their spirit wakes up in the other dimensions in trauma.
Yeah.
No golden age.
Mm-hmm.
That is the big issue.
Yeah.
That is the big issue. Are you going to wake up on the other side in the golden age because that's your frequency, because you don't have all this heavy congestion in your astral, your spirit body is your emotional body, your astral body is your emotional body. You don't have all this fear and all this whatever. So how is it going to be? Well, for too many people in the Western world, it is not going to be graceful like the Mayans.
Mm.
And if we keep watching all those movies and getting all those images, filling our aura with all of those horrifying images, that's what we create. We use images to create.
Yes.
We use images to create. We use images to create. What are the images in your body if you took an inventory?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How many murders have you, are in your aura, the images? How many murders?
Hundreds, thousands,
how
maybe
many
millions.
Tortures? How many crying people?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, so these are basic things that people have not gotten correctly because they don't have the information.
Yeah.
Why don't they have it? You know, we don't need to go into that.
Right. Well,
we just haven't known.
And then to me, it's one of the things that I've talked about, and I have to, I'll share this with you. I haven't shared this with anybody yet because the interview that I did was just a few days ago, and I haven't had the opportunity. But in the conversation, I shared with the guest a disclaimer that I often give, and I'm not going to give it anymore because of what was shared with me, and what you just shared as well, in terms of images and in terms of maybe even intent, maybe subconsciously I was using that in some fashion to, I don't know, have some kind of control or manipulation and what have you, and I don't want to play that anymore. But I do believe, and I know you do as well, how important it is to be careful about what we take into our five senses, that we have the freedom, and this may sound very strange to some folks, but we do have the freedom of discrimination, to discriminate in the context of what we're talking about.
We're supposed to.
I can associate or disassociate with anyone or anything that I want. If I don't want that in my life, then I don't want that in my life. It's extraordinary. Francis Fox is my guest, and we are talking about a wide variety of different things. But most importantly, we're talking about her website, which is francisfox.com. And we encourage you to go there. She's written a number of books, and I'm actually going to let you know about those. I've got them up here, actually up on my screen. We have the Energetics in the Business World, Peak Performance, which I like the Fox Factor in that respect. I think that's kind of neat. Secrets of Your Matrix, and that's basically the psychic investigator's extraordinary journey. And then we also have for you The Gods Speak. Now, it's the Dolphin Wisdom Revealed. Now, that ties into something at your website, which I'd like for you to talk about in terms of people sort of getting a little guidance for their future.
If you would allow me a moment, I'll go pull the book up so I can talk to you about it.
Absolutely. And while you're doing that, I want to let you know you're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are here giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. We're giving you a lot of choices today. I think that you're going to have an opportunity to check all kinds of wonderful things out. I even went to the webpage for Future on your website, francisfox.com, and you give wonderful instruction on what you need to do in preparation before you click the submit button at the bottom left-hand side of the page, as it appeared on my browser. And it's tied in. Go ahead.
Yeah, that is a little game if you want a free psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on the book The Gods Speak, which I understood was going to be, excuse me a second.
Sure, sure. She's dealing with sort of, we can call it an unruly child of sorts.
My arm was not long enough to reach the book. Now I got it.
Okay.
The book The Gods Speak is a series of conversations I had with dolphins. And you go to the page and you click a little widget and it gives you a number. And then you go to the ebook right there and that's the page number. And your answer is on that page. And like I tell people, if you don't understand the answer, that's okay, but that doesn't mean that you did not get your answer. That just means you weren't ready for it.
Right.
Xerox that page, put your question at the top and look at it later. But the fascinating part about it, Richard, is most of the men in the beginning when I would experiment, I would simply hand them the book.
Right.
And they would ask a question. Practically every time when they, I mean like 100% of the time when I used to do this with the book in hand, the page that they would open to would have something to do with sex. And I would laugh and say, you don't need to tell me what your question is, but I can see what the subject is. Unbelievable. And they would look at me like, oh my God. And I said, listen, the dolphins talk a lot about sex. So there's not just one page on that subject. There's many pages, but you know, it's not 10% of the book. It's less so. So, and that proved to me that book was not just a psychic tool for me, but it's a psychic tool for everyone. but it's a reading at a very high level. So it's not going to tell you what's going to happen in the next 7 days, but it will tell you some. It's interesting. Go to the site and look at it. It's at the top link, and it says your future. And if you speak Spanish, it's on my Spanish site, and it says tu futuro.
Well, when I asked my question, I was taken to initially to page 88, emotional dishonesty helps contribute to violence. Now,
oh my God.
What was so fascinating for me, Francis, what was so fascinating for me was that I have had one or two experiences, and we're talking within the last few days here in our regarding our conversation, where I was virtually minding my own business in a store, in a restaurant, going up to the counter to order. And this woman, this young gal, wanted to get through between me and another person who was standing in line to go another direction. So I turned and looked down to my right just to see who it was. And I shifted a little to the left to let her go through. And from out of nowhere, I hear this loud male voice saying, "What did you just call her?" And his dialogue continued from there. He came up and got in my face. All I said to him was, very calmly and quietly, "I didn't say a word." And I turned away. But he continued to this verbiage.
To go at me,
but he moved away back to his corner of the restaurant in his booth, but continued to say it loud enough for everyone to hear. And I thought, wow, what in the world? And then I get up to the counter, and the gentleman behind the counter says, "Oh yeah, he did that to me too." And I thought, wow, where is this young man coming from? You know, what is, not that it really mattered to me where he was coming from. I wasn't going to engage him in any way, shape, or form because, number one, I had not said anything to this young gal as she worked her way through. But it was just amazing that more and more people are, it's almost like people are looking for.
They need an outlet for their anger.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not it. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not it, okay?
Okay.
If you come across me, I'm not it.
Then I need to recommend to you and to everybody, the law of attraction is the most important law today. It's more important than the law of intention.
Yeah.
Law of attraction is the law of magnetic resonance. If you have any repressed frustration inside of you, you're going to get that type of behavior attracted to you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you never say anything unpleasant, if you didn't deal with the fact that, and I'm just pulling an example out of the air,
sure,
your father beat you when you were young,
mm-hmm,
and you never really processed your rage at the fact that he beat you, okay?
Yeah.
That's inside of you.
Yeah.
And that is creating an energy of magnetic resonance, and it will draw to you angry people. So the people that are struggling the most with this thing of where did that come from are people that are really very pleasant.
Yeah.
They're very pleasant. And I dealt with this 6 months ago. It was continuous. And then I went, "But I haven't done anything. What is this?" Well, I actually had not done anything about several vasanas of rage.
Right.
From my childhood.
Right.
So I went, okay, let me go back and let me do my purification mantras and let me deal with my repressed rage. Because it's obvious that this is going to get really dangerous.
Yeah.
It is dangerous today to have any repressed rage inside of us because of the excess of fire element on the planet due to our radiating electronic devices. There's an excess of fire.
Mm.
So if you have stuff inside of you, if you were sexually abused, if you were beaten up, if life was really unfair to you, you know what? Even Jesus Christ would get angry, okay?
Yeah.
It's there someplace. So that's an interesting story, and look at, you know, it's just so much happening that's weird, but when you go beneath it, it's not so weird.
It's not so weird.
There's a reason for it.
Exactly. There, it is not disconnected from anything. It is a part of what's going on, both within myself.
In your case, I'm going to do a diagnosis.
Oh, all right.
Your case was not so much repressed rage as injustice.
Mm.
You must have a pattern of injustice in your life to where you're just fine.
Yeah.
When you were young and somebody accused you of something and you go, "No, I didn't do that." And it continues and you're going, What's going on here? And you had no way of defending yourself.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, all through school, it was the issue of bullying, you know, and that is a form of injustice because what did I do to deserve being pushed around by these bigger guys?
So then what you need to do is you need to do the mantra, please God help me with my intention to heal my bullying vasanas. So your mind goes in like a little guided missile looking for the injury. The vasana is the injury. Mm-hmm. It goes down and you'll remember things, and then it'll hit the vasana, which is a nugget, a congestion, and it will release it. And you probably will have the memory and go, oh my God, I did not remember that. And that nugget, by the way, is the basis for almost all diseases.
Mm. I have often said that this radio program is, for me, a form of therapy. So thank you.
So I want you to know that he asked me to come on the show and to do a diagnosis of him. I'm just joking. I wasn't going to. This is very spontaneous, and this is just.
Indeed.
It's a piece of information I can give you, which I know is going to help a lot of other people.
But I will also tell you, too, that. And I've done this ever since I started interviewing back in the very early 1980s, and that is I have always incorporated aspects of my personal life, maybe not using names of other people, but just experiences in the context of interviews. And it's a natural thing for me to do that. Now, I have respected the wishes of my first wife, who did not want me to do that, so I would not. And yet my second wife here in the present day, it's not that she doesn't have a problem with it, but I'm still very unconscious of the fact that, hey, she has a right to her privacy. And so I try not to speak for her or about her. I try to keep it in my context. This is my story, and I tell it in that regard. I want to jump back to the issue of evolution, because again, the comment I was going to make from the interview that I did was that the comment was made that the next evolutionary process for humankind is community.
That's when I told you about the collapse of hierarchy.
Exactly.
Correct.
Yeah. And that it's one of those aspects that we deal with on this program, and that is that we are looking for those new ways of living. Well, those new ways of living seem to be surrounding the concept, if you will, of community.
Correct.
But a lot of people are afraid of community because they think they're going to lose their individuality, which is the farthest thing. In the conversations I've had, it's the farthest thing from the truth.
I think the biggest thing that blocks us from community is our material possessions.
Hear, hear. I'm ready to let mine go.
I think people love the community. I think practically everybody loves the community. What they cannot wrap their heads around is the community as it applies to material possessions.
Hmm.
So we are going to perhaps lose all of our material possessions, and then we will be able to embrace community and be much happier than we are today. Much happier. And I do not live under a tree. I live in a very nice house in a street called Park Avenue in Coconut Grove, Florida. And I drive a nice car and et cetera, et cetera. So I enjoy the nice things in life. But the truth of the matter is those things are blocking us from really being able to commune with each other. And that is what ultimately makes us happy.
And you've raised two points, one earlier and then this one now. In terms of people who lost their jobs, when I started hearing about that back in 2008, 2009, 2010, and so forth, and again, I'm not trying, this is by no means to minimize their sorrow and their experience, but I asked the question on some of the programs, did you really love the job you were doing that you were just laid off of?
You are so clear. You know who I asked that to? The women whose husbands are unfaithful.
Yeah.
And I'll say, wait a second, I'm looking here and I don't see you really loving this guy, and I see you disgusted with him and really over him for years. Well, yeah, but. I said, there is no but. You didn't really want him, did you? I mean, there is no exceptions to that.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that ultimately they didn't want them, but that in terms of the daily whatever, they were like over him.
Right.
So this is the whole thing with the jobs is so important, and I tell people, you need to be, I give him a mantra, please God help me with my intention to align with my prosperous mission, because we can no longer tolerate. We cannot tolerate doing something that doesn't feel right, that doesn't resonate with us.
Yeah. And I know that.
And I hope.
Well, I was going to say, I know that a lot of these people actually, many of them, actually were then able, because they were released from that god-awful job they just hated, to then actually do what you just stated in the mantra, to go after their life's purpose, the thing that they desired to do, rather than the thing that maybe generation after generation after generation in their families did. And it's like, but this isn't my purpose. But I got stuck in it because that's what I was supposed to do in the family.
And I hope that we do not need to be released from our prosperity in this country in order to be able to find our happiness.
Hear, hear. I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. And prosperity will indeed take on many different forms. Years and years ago, I used to wonder why I wasn't getting paid more. And a lot of my coworkers, especially people that I would train, would come in and they would say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. You guys don't pay me enough to do that. And I thought, man, what an attitude. I don't want to take that on. And what I was able to do to shift out of that and stay in the positive frame of mind regarding what I was earning was to realize that though there is always an exchange, always, the universe demands it and it will make it happen, I began to realize I am getting, not that I was overpaid, mind you, but I was getting that exchange through not only the paycheck every other week, but through the books and the CDs and all of the materials that were sent to me by the PR firms and the authors and so forth. But it was also the relationships that I made through those interviews and then the opportunity to air those interviews on that radio station.
There is an issue. That is accurate. But there is an issue having to do with material compensation when you do spiritual work.
Yes.
And it's not resolved satisfactorily.
Okay.
And I, perhaps because I'm in that field and in that position, which is why I've done corporate work and I work with people privately having to do with readings, I have not found what the issue is. But that has been an issue on the planet since the beginning of time, and the way it was resolved was that the spiritual leaders did not have to earn a living. Everybody had to provide for them.
Hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what kind of satisfactory resolution we'll have there, having to do with, and I don't know that it's a fairness or fair trade. I'm not really sure. But it has not been resolved satisfactorily in a hierarchical situation, which is what we live in. When
right.
we were in community, it was.
Right.
Because the medicine men, etc., which is where I would put you, you work with words, but it's still the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were provided for. They were highly regarded. They were taken care of. They didn't have a problem.
Yeah.
So it's hierarchy. Perhaps it does not honor the spiritual work that creates predicaments that makes it hard to be able to really concentrate on this. I took care of it by doing...
You took care of it by doing what?
Corporate work.
Corporate work. Well, for me, whenever in the present day, whenever I find my personality stepping in and beginning to fret about finances and so forth, and you know, the whole paycheck to paycheck kind of concept, I have to the mantra that I use, if you will, is trust the universe. Trust the universe. When and to that example, when my wife and I both lost our jobs in 2006, we fortunately had a little nest egg to live on. We made a decision to move to Santa Barbara, and by May of that year, boom, we were here. And there was no fear in that decision. As a matter of fact, the conversation basically went like this: the wife says, I feel like we're on the edge of a cliff. What do we do? What do we do? I'm scared. To which I responded, everything that is within me says that we do two things. We jump and we trust. And that's what we did. And so it goes back to trust the universe. You trusted the universe then for a monumental event. So, and this is small potatoes by comparison. So just trust.
It is trust, and the problem here, we go with images again. We don't have a lot of images of people that do spiritual work living the way we would like to live.
Yeah, that's
true. So we don't have
true.
A reinforcement, the whole images thing again.
Mm.
You know, the rabbis, I love rabbis. I get along very well with me, and they get along very well also. They don't live the way most of them that we would like to live.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's an image of memory and of there's that issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of these problems are going to resolve.
Yeah, they are in time.
Because
they will.
The system is not going to be able to sustain the patterns that have created these issues for us.
Francis, before we wrap up the program, three final questions for you. Number one, who is Francis Fox?
Oh, my goodness, I'm a soul that's been... I've had an intention throughout many lifetimes to be able to deliver an important healing techniques that can be self-administered and are cost-free. And I believe that I have arrived at that point where I can deliver this. So that is who I am, a person who wants to diminish human misery with mental techniques that can help.
Mm-hmm. And in a matter of speaking, you've sort of answered the second question. What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I would like to diminish human misery. I would like for people to be able to enjoy themselves and enjoy their loved ones and enjoy their work. Just have more pleasure.
Mm. I couldn't agree with you more on that one. And finally, how powerful are we as human beings?
Well, if a mother sees her child under the wheels of a car, she really doesn't have the ability to lift the car, and yet she does. That's how powerful we are.
Francis Fox, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program and for sharing your story and insights. This has been great. This has been a lot of fun.
I really appreciate it, Richard. It's nice to be able to speak so openly and so much at the same level with another human being today. Thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome. The website is francisfox.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. When we get back with you the next time, which we will, it will be another Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And go to richarddugan.com, radio shows page. You will be able to hear this interview in its entirety. And you can go to francisfox.com to check out more of what we've been talking about. Until next Saturday at this time, love to all.